You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see you once again. Thank you, John and Praise Team, for leading us this morning. Appreciate them. They put a lot of time and effort into that, and I really appreciate each and every single one of them that participates and leads us in worship. Today, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Okay. One of my goals every time that I stand up and preach or teach a Sunday school lesson or anything, one of my main goals is to just brag on the Lord Jesus. Okay, I want us to make much of the Lord every time that we come together in any type of gathering, whether it's Christians, we should really magnify the name of Jesus because he's the only one worthy to be worshipped and to be magnified. Okay, let's read in Matthew chapter 7, just a couple of verses this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse 28. The Bible says this, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." Okay, now when I get up and preach, I think there is some authority to that, but I really think the authority that I have is really the Scripture. Okay, I preach on the authority of the Scripture and not on my own self. I have very little to say of my own self. I want to preach Jesus and make high of Jesus again. Okay, today we're going to talk about the authority of Jesus. Who's in control? Who's in charge? Who's Lord of heaven and earth? Well, we believe it's Jesus. Okay, Jesus, God's Son, 100% God, 100% man for those years that he was walking here on the earth. Okay, if you have a Bible that has subheadings on it, you know, where it'll kind of tell you, Jesus calms the storm or something like that, I want you to look at the subheadings or the subtitles in chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. What's the one right above verse 1, the first subheading you have? Judging others. Okay, mine too. And then it says, ask and it will be given. And then mine has the golden rule. A tree and its fruit. I never knew you. Build your house on the rock. And then lastly in chapter 7, it says the authority of Jesus. So you know my sermon title today, The Authority of Jesus, isn't original to me. But in all of chapter 7, except for those last two verses, you have a red letter Bible? How much of chapter 7 is in red letters? All of it except the last two verses, right? The one that we read. So Jesus was talking to these people and he said, first, judge not that you be not judged. And he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And then verse 12, he says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And then verse 16 says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Then verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Y'all know the song, right? You sing when you're a kid in Sunday school? The wise man built his house on the rock. Are y'all gonna make me do that? I'm not doing it. All right. That's John's job. I'll let John lead us in that. But the wise man built his house on the rock. Jesus had all these things in chapter 7. And these folks are listening to this, and they said, you know what? This guy acts like he's got some authority here. Who is this guy to be saying these things? Look at chapter 8. When you see chapter 8, look at the subheadings that you have in your Bible in chapter 8. Jesus cleanses a leper. Okay, Jesus heals many. The cost of following Jesus. Jesus calms a storm. Jesus heals two men with demons. The first one I have for chapter 9 says Jesus heals a paralytic. So these people, the Bible says, were astonished that Jesus had all of this authority. And then what does Jesus do immediately after that? He starts performing miracle after miracle after miracle. Why is he doing that? Jesus doesn't really have to prove anything to us, but he says, do you need a little evidence here? Watch these things that I'm about to do. That's why I speak with authority, because I am God. I can do any of these things. I can heal anybody. Okay? So he has authority. We know that. He astonished the people. I remember the Sermon on the Mount. People heard what he preached and said, man, that was incredible. We've never heard anything like that. Okay? And all the things that he taught in chapter 7 and before, people say, well, who does this guy think he is to say these things? And then, of course, he goes off and performs all kinds of miracles. So today we're going to talk about the authority of Jesus just for a few minutes. I got 3 points, and I really fancied them up. They all start with the same letter, okay? For you English majors out there, that's alliteration, okay? All right, I went to school years ago, and I remember that one. The first is this. Well, I say they all start with the word the, and then they have the same letter, okay? The right of Jesus' authority. Well, who does he think he is? Why on earth can Jesus claim to have all of this authority? How about number one here, the right of Jesus' authority, letter A, if you're doing an outline. He's the creator. What does the Bible say about Jesus and creation? Well, I quote it all the time. It's one of my favorite concepts and verses in the Bible. There is nothing made that was not made by him. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, yes, he was a newborn babe, as we just sang there in Christ Alone. But was that Jesus' first instance of existence? No, he's been around forever. There was nothing made that was not made by him. Anything that you see here, Jesus had a hand in creating. Okay? There's nothing that was not made by him. And you know what the Bible also says, and I didn't write my reference here, so I have drawn a blank. Not only was it created by him, the Bible also says it was created for him. Y'all know I love nature. Okay? I love, and sometimes we joke around here in New Mexico, especially those of us that aren't native to this area. You know, if you drive to Albuquerque, 200 miles west of here, we took Kara's parents there the other day. It's the first time they had ever been to Albuquerque in their life. And Kara's dad asked a question, something to the effect of, well, what's between here and Albuquerque? I said, well, there's some pronghorn antelope. And there's Fort Sumner and Santa Rosa, and that's more or less it until you get to the eastern side of the mountains there. But you know, even if you leave, and I know people give Clovis a hard time, okay, but if you leave the city limits and you go out in Clovis where it's flat and people see there's nothing there, you know what I see there, to be honest? I see beautiful skies, okay? I consider this big sky country. Okay, I realize there's not a whole lot of trees. Okay, where I'm from in East Texas, there's trees everywhere. You can't see anything for the trees. Okay, but there's beauty here. God created all this. Jesus had a role in creating Curry County, New Mexico. There is absolute beauty out there. Did you know that the Lord, and this is one I really have a hard time with, he even created snakes. Okay, even rattlesnakes. I have to... Okay, Lord, I know you did that, but I'm having a hard time with it. Okay, that's my transparency for the morning. But it was made by him and for him. Man, there's so much beauty everywhere you go in the things that Jesus created. So there's the first one, creation. Here's the second one. He is the heir. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews, right there after all the letters of Paul. Hebrews chapter 1, let's see, verse 2. Hebrews 1, 2 says this, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So Jesus is the heir of what? Of all things. So the right of Jesus' authority doesn't stop at creator. He's also the heir of everything. He more or less has inherited everything. Okay? Now, we know that inheritance is a big deal in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Of course, brothers fought over it, and one guy sold his birthright for a pot of lentil stew, you know, that you can buy for 88 cents at Walmart to this day. It's an important thing, but Jesus is the heir, so it's his. He's creator. He's the heir of all things. And then the third one, for the right of Jesus' authority, he is the redeemer. What does redemption mean? Redemption literally means to buy back. So when you submit to the Lord's authority, when Jesus becomes the Savior of your sins and the Lord of your life, literally what he is doing, he is buying you back. You are his. Okay, so what right, what authority does he have? Well, in essence, he owns you. If he's your redeemer, he has authority there. Okay, so he's creator, he's the heir, and he's also a redeemer. I'll just say this, I don't know why, but a little blurb here, the best decision you'll ever make is to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. So there's the right of Jesus' authority. How about this? Letter R, the recognition of Jesus' authority. Okay, Jesus, you have all these rights. Okay, we see that. But who recognizes you as the authority over all the universe? Go to the book of Hebrews again. I should have told you to keep your thumb there. Hebrews chapter 1 again. The book of Hebrews, while you're turning there, a lot of the book of Hebrews is to compare other leaders and other beings with Jesus. And one of the main themes of the book of Hebrews is this: Jesus is better than dot, dot, dot. One of them is Jesus is better than Moses. And this was written to Hebrews who have a very high view and opinion of Moses. And for them to say Jesus is better than Moses probably took some of them back a little bit. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6 says this, a recognition of Jesus' authority. How about verse 6? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. So who's the first group of beings that recognize Jesus' authority? The angels. There was one angel years ago, you probably know the story, that decided he was going to put his throne up above God, up above the Lord's. And what happened to him? The book of Ezekiel says, hey, I saw that angel, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want, boogeyman, whatever you want to call him, falling like lightning from heaven. You cannot challenge the authority of Jesus without consequences. For Lucifer, one of the archangels, one of the most powerful created beings in the universe, he got a little uppity, he got a little prideful, and said, man, God's not so much higher than I am. I can do this. And then what happened? He gets booted out. But the angels worship him. One of these Wednesday nights when we're doing Stump the Preacher, I don't think anybody's asked this question verbatim, but maybe we need to tackle the idea of what angels really are. I've had the conversation a couple times in the last few months about when people die, believers in Jesus Christ, that when we die and we enter into heaven, I've had people believe that we become angels. That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, we are a separate creation from angels. Okay, but angels worship Jesus. Angels recognize the authority of Jesus. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. You're going to flip around a little bit today, and I read something this week that said, preacher, don't apologize for making your congregation flip through the Bible, so I'm not going to do it. Isn't it good that y'all know this comes from the Bible and not out of my own brain here? Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. There's the angels again worshiping who? Jesus, giving him authority, recognizing Jesus' authority. Can't you just imagine heaven in the future where you get to witness a scene like this? All the other things that go on that preoccupy our minds will be gone. And we will worship the Lord in one accord, and we will see Jesus face to face. And then, even though we believe in his authority right now, we will really have a better grasp of his authority when we're there. Can't wait for those days. It's going to be fantastic. So the recognition of Jesus' authority, first, he's worshiped by angels. And how about this? He is also recognized by demons. Mark chapter 1. Right over Matthew's neighbor, Mark. Mark chapter 1. Verse 23. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. So here's the demons. Not only do they recognize who Jesus is, when Jesus says, "Hey, get out of there," what does that demon do? He gets out of there. So what are we saying here? Jesus has authority over demons. He tells them what to do. Even go back to the book of Job, Satan. Okay, remember, Satan was a fallen, was an angel, fell out of heaven. These demons are the angels that came with Lucifer, Satan. And Satan even said, "Hey, of course Job worships you. Look how good you are to him." And God says, "Okay, Satan, I will give you permission to touch Job." Satan can't just do what he wants. Don't make the mistake of putting him on the same level with God. He's got to get permission. And we know one day he'll be eliminated and Jesus will reign forevermore. So the recognition of Jesus' authority as angels, and he's recognized by demons. And then how about this? He is also praised by the redeemed. Go back to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. We just saw the angels singing to the Lord in the book of the Revelation. Now let's talk about the redeemed. Who's the redeemed? That's us, who Jesus has forgiven of us of our sins. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Well, who's saying that? That's us. You might as well memorize these scriptures because you're going to be saying it in the future. Okay? That's us. That's the redeemed of the Lord. We get to recognize Jesus' authority not just here, but we also praise our Redeemer there face to face. Okay? All this, you know, I didn't want to sing "The Wise Man Built His House on the Rock" earlier and all that. I'm going to sing "On the Other Side." Okay, I don't think there's any option. I think you have to. Okay, I don't know if there's a penalty box you go in if you don't or not, but I'm going to be singing up there. Okay, down here I'll make a joyful noise. Up there I'll be actually singing. We will praise the Redeemer. Why? Because he's the only one worthy of that praise. He's the only one with authority of the entire, listen to this, the entire universe. 2 weeks ago on Palm Sunday, remember, we talked about how Jesus was king. You see, there's similar themes today. Jesus is not just king of the Holy Lands. Jesus isn't just king of the Middle East. He's not just king of the world. He's a king of the universe. Hey, remember, I made a silly statement a couple weeks ago. If there are extraterrestrials out there, Jesus is their king also. He has authority over them also if they're out there. Okay? Don't put that in the stump the preacher card. Are there aliens out there? Okay, the Bible doesn't say anything about it. Except that you and I are aliens in a strange land, but it's not talking about E.T. Okay? I answered the question right there, so go ahead and put it in the box. We've already finished it. Okay? The authority of Jesus. He is worshipped by angels, recognized by demons, and then he is praised by the redeemed. So we have the right of Jesus' authority. We have the recognition of the authority of Jesus, and then I've already kind of jumped the gun on this one. We have the reach of Jesus' authority. How far does it go? Where does his power end? It doesn't end. I love space. I was fascinated when I was a second grader at Vivian Fowler Elementary School in Mount Pleasant, Texas. I love to read about space. When I was 8 years old, I was convinced I would be the first middle linebacker in the NFL / astronaut that had ever walked the face of the earth. I was going to do them both. Okay. Now, obviously, my dreams have not been realized, okay? But I'm not bitter. I'm a happy person anyway. But I was gonna do both. And I remember our teacher was talking about how some meteor or whatever was going to pass close to the earth some point in our lifetime, in my lifetime. And I just knew as an 8-year-old, hey, I'm gonna be one of the astronomers. I was going to do that side too, astronomer and astronaut. I'm going to be one of the astronomers that's going to eliminate this meteor that would threaten life on earth. I love space. But one of the things you read about space is it's infinite. You don't ever get to the end. When you get to the end, what's there? More space. So when you get way out there in the outer systems, I saw a picture this week of what they said they refer to as the backside of Mars. It was on the far side of Mars. And it was a very clear picture. And in that picture, you could see a little dust devil off in the distance. It's a fascinating picture. I'm still fascinated with space and all of those things. Well, over where that dust devil is, think about how much God has to do here on earth with 7 billion of us. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows all of our thoughts. There are 7 billion of us. You know, when I started in the ministry, they said there was only 6 billion of us. The earth has just exploded in population, okay? But God knows all of our thoughts at all times. That's unreal to even try to comprehend. But then think about the authority of Jesus not just stopping here on earth. The Lord knew that little dust devil was blowing around there on the far side of Mars. Man, that's just our neighbor in the solar system. That's just right there. The Lord's authority reaches everywhere. You won't go anywhere, even if we could travel at the speed of light, you will never go anywhere that outlasts or outreaches his authority. It's everywhere. Okay? All authority, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, all authority in heaven and earth is given to Jesus. If we were to go back, I didn't write the reference now, but in the book of Revelation, remember during the millennial reign of Christ, the Bible says that the kings of the earth will come and basically pay homage to Jesus then. Most important people on earth will pay their respects and recognize the authority of Jesus. What does the Bible say about those that are in authority over us today? The Bible says, and it's very clear, that the Lord has placed them in authority over us. Okay, and so we're supposed to pray for them, we're supposed to respect them, and all of those things, whether we agree or disagree. Okay? God has placed them in authority over us, but who is their authority? It's the Lord. There's nobody else. I hope I'm painting the picture, and I know this is a smart group, I hope I'm painting the picture clear enough that there is no threat, there is no viable opposition to the authority of Jesus in the entire universe. Who's going to stand up against him? Of course, we've already referenced Satan. He tried, and how'd that work out for him? His authority, the reach of his authority, is infinite. Go to the book of Colossians, the last one we'll go to this morning. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. The reach of Jesus' authority. Of course, he said it's everywhere, so we're going to bring it down in scope just a little bit here. Verse 18. Do y'all have one of those subheadings right there above verse 15 in your Bible? Mine says the preeminence of Christ. But verse 18 of Colossians chapter 1 says this: and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. I already had these notes written down this morning, but as we pulled into the parking lot across the street there this morning, Hannah, our 3-year-old, said, look, it's my church. And then big sister disagreed that this is Hannah's church. And big sister said, this is the church. And then Kara, being very biblically accurate, said, well, this is our church building. We're the church. But whatever you want to consider it, whose church is this? Now, I knew what Hannah meant when she said, this is my church. But whose church is this in reality? This is the Lord's church. That's why every time we do anything here, I want it to honor and to magnify the Lord, because this is His. Okay? This isn't mine. I don't want it to be mine. I don't want that responsibility, and I can't handle that responsibility. I'm just a human being. Jesus has authority over the church, not just Highland Baptist, but all of our brothers and sisters at other churches and other denominations here in town and across the world. Jesus is the head of our church, which means when we preach the gospel of Jesus in our church, we have to agree with what He said. I read something this week that said, and whoever wrote this put it very eloquently, and I'm going to fumble through it. But he said, when we read the scriptures, we have to treat it as though God is talking to us out loud. That's the authority the scriptures should have in our life. So when we read these things, now there are some things I understand. That's why we're doing this stump the preacher thing. There are some things that are unclear or difficult to comprehend. But when we read these things, when Jesus says He's the way, the truth, and the life, that's not up for debate. Why? Because He has authority. And Jesus has given us His Word. The Bible says that He is the Word. He is the living Word. John chapter 1. When He says those things, as Christians, we have to take them as God's truth. 100%. There's no mincing words. There's no getting around it. That's how it is. I know in this day and age, there are many that are famous and as ministers and all of those things, and they'll say things that they don't want to hurt people's feelings. Let me tell you something. The last thing I want to do is hurt somebody's feelings. But if Jesus, if the truth of God hurts their feelings, I'm okay with that. What did Jesus do? Did everybody love Jesus? Remember, He rolled into town on the triumphal entry. Everybody's laying the palm branches down before Him and all of those things. And they loved Him that day, but He was dead 5 days later. Remember in John chapter 6, Jesus was talking about drinking the blood and eating the body and was using hard language, kind of. And the Bible says that a lot of people that were following Him left. And then Jesus looked at His disciples, His inner circle, and said, you guys want to leave too? Jesus is the dividing line of all history. Not just by how we count our calendar. But there's only, it's either yay or nay with Jesus, and that's it. Let me put it like this. God was very merciful to me and kind to me and led me to repentance when I was 17. I don't want to act like I had anything to do with it. But Jesus saved me from my sins when I was 17 years old. I gave my life to Him. He is the supreme authority in my life. And you know what's good news about it? When we think of dictators and we think of authoritarian figures, totalitarian figures, we think very negative, and we think that they step on your neck and you can't do anything. But in Jesus' authority, there is freedom to be enjoyed there. There is peace. There is joy. There's all of those things. He's a good king. The Bible says in Proverbs, when people are led by a righteous man, there's prosperity and there's rejoicing and there's all of those things. That's not specifically talking about Jesus Christ, but it applies. He's not heavy-handed. He's not mean-spirited. He's very truthful, and sometimes the truth hurts. But He's a good king, and He's a kind king, and He's the only one worthy of the authority of the entire universe. And so today, I don't know how to end it other than to say this. Make much of the name of Jesus in your life. He's not just a good person, but He is the Son of God who gave His life on the cross. We know that. And last week, we talked about the resurrection. He's still alive. Amen. Who else has done that? Well, you say, well, Lazarus was dead. Well, yeah, but who raised Him from the dead? You say all these other miracles where people were brought back. Yeah, but who raised them from the dead? Jesus is the only one with authority over death. Amen. And if you want hope for life after death, there's one shot, and that's Jesus. Amen. And nobody else. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today, God. We do want to thank you for your authority. And not only that, we want to thank you for your goodness to us. I certainly know I don't deserve it, but you have been way better to me than I could ever earn. You're way better to me than certainly I deserve. But Lord, this morning I want to ask forgiveness for myself and maybe encourage my brothers and sisters in the Lord to think the same way here, that we've messed up. And we've fallen short of those things. But God, the amazing thing is that you still love us regardless of those things. And we're thankful for that this morning. Also, Lord, forgive me. This is something I deal with all the time. I try to live my life on my own terms sometimes. And I forget the authority of Jesus in my life. I should live life on your terms. Some days that'll create some difficult things. But man, in the end, it's so much better, so much more fulfilling. So forgive us as Christians today here at Highland when we forget your authority in our life. Lord, this morning for those, maybe there's one or two, maybe there's a dozen, I have no idea, that don't know you personally. Lord, do to them as you did to me 17 and a half years ago. God, and make yourself very real to them. Lord, the Bible says it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Lord, I pray you would show them that kindness today and they would realize that they need a Savior. And there's only one with authority over death, and that's Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that we have hope for eternity because of Jesus and the fact that he's alive today. And today we just want to make much of the name of Jesus. We want to lift you high. We can't put into words adequately how incredible you are. But man, I hope that our hearts today are bursting forth and doing what we can.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening. For more audio sermons, visit us online at highlandclovis.com.